Nick DiGilio here. We are live in the Allstate Studios on the 7th floor of Trib Tower. Here till 5 a.m. And this weekend, it'll be the 20th anniversary of Charles Bukowski's death. A tremendously talented writer and character. And there's going to be a celebration in L.A. 20 years after Charles Bukowski Memorial Gathering. And it's going to take place at the King Eddie Saloon on East 5th Street in Los Angeles on Sunday, March 9th. And the host is Richard Shave. And he actually is an independent film producer. He's an art historian. He's the director of the Downtown Los Angeles Art Walk. And he actually has a tour, a Bukowski tour, called Haunts of a Dirty Old Man, Charles Bukowski's L.A. And he's going to be part of this event on Sunday. And we welcome Richard to the show. Hi, Richard.
Thank you for having me. Pleasure to be here.
Absolutely. Let's talk a little bit about how Bukowski affected you. And tell everybody just a quick for people who might not know Bukowski's work or his story, just a brief tale about Bukowski.
Sure. Charles Bukowski, American poet, Los Angeles native, really came to the forefront of national consciousness, international consciousness, 1970s. Really one of these great iconic poets that helped put Los Angeles on the map as a place to be reckoned with in terms for poets and for writers. And that's really what we try and get to the bottom of in my bus tour about him.
So the bus tour,
the power of these chapbooks, these mimeographed newsletters of poetry he passed around with his friends.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very interesting.
And what do you think is the significance of Bukowski that people can still feel today?
Charles Bukowski really continued to talk about things that those of us who call ourselves modern have been thinking about for the past 400 years, which is, you know, the nature. Why is it that in the midst of really terrible things, there are really beautiful things? And he really, that was really a big focus of his. And Los Angeles in his time was a really sordid place, and he saw a lot of really beautiful things, and he really tried to reconcile that and write about that. And I think that's a really, really powerful thing that Bukowski brings to us, these wonderful images, these very sad lyrical images.
Mm-hmm. And also at this celebration 20 years after Charles Bukowski's memorial gathering is going to be a friend of his who you Richard, would you care to introduce her?
Joan Jobe Smith. Yes, Joan will be reading. She's on the other line. Joan is amazing. Joan is a friend, a peer, someone who came up in this world, the underground world of Los Angeles in the 1970s, which today we see as really this seedbed for everything we think about in terms of popular culture. And Joan was a go-go dancer. Joan was a poet. Joan is a poet. She was writing poetry. She was at the readings with Bukowski, and she just has these amazing stories to tell about how this really fringe part of Los Angeles that no one really thought about, what happened. And I think it's something that's really riveting to all of us today still.
Okay, well, let's welcome her to the show. Joan Jobe Smith. Joan, how are you?
Hi.
Welcome to the show. Thanks for being on. I appreciate it.
Thank you. I'm listening to you and Richard.
And let me ask you, Joan, you actually wrote a book about Charles Bukowski. Tell me about that.
Well, Charles Bukowski, Epic Glottis, which is a nickname I gave him, Epic Glottis. It was a joke. It's about his art and his women and a little bit of me. I consider it a literary profile in one sense, that it's got some gentle critique of him. I don't consider myself scholar enough to get into deconstructing him or anything for a PhD dissertation, but it's a bit of a hagiography, I think, because I really loved him as a poet and a friend, and I was very good friends with his girlfriends, his Francie, who's the mother of Marina, his only child. I was still am good friends with Ann Minnebroker, one of his first sweethearts that he dedicated some books to in the early days of the 70s. And actually, it catches my heart in its hand. He dedicated that to Ann Minnebroker in about 1962, I think. And I've been friends to this day still with Linda King, the first Linda, not the widow, Linda Bukowski. And I'm good friends with Pamela Cupcake Miller-Wood, who has written her own Bukowski book, but hers is a memoir of their relationship called Scarlet, and it's just been translated into Italian. La Rosa di Bukowski.
And Joan, can you tell me about how you met him?
I was an undergrad at Cal State Long Beach, University of, this was the fall of 73, and I attended a reading that Bukowski was giving. And afterwards, I went up very boldly and introduced myself to, well, to Linda while he was autographing books. And he autographed my copy of The Days Run Away Like Wild Horses Over the Hills. And I was starting up a literary journal, an all-women's contributing journal of poetry for women called Pearl. And it was my first issue, and I asked Linda to be a part of it. But then she and I became friends after that, as she was sending me work to be in the book, in the journal, rather. And then Bukowski and I corresponded. I talked to him on the telephone quite often when he and Linda would fight. And he badmouthed her to me, and then she'd call and badmouth him to me. That was fun. That
I
was,
bet it was, yeah.
That was great to be this this privy to this these screams from the balcony, you know, as they called each other their pots being blacker than the other. So that was a real exciting year. But it was also, sadly, the year that they slowly ended their relationship. And I think they broke up for good. I think it was December of 75. But during that year, I saw Bukowski read probably about five times at Cal State Long Beach, and saw Linda King read. Sometimes they read together, and they do a call and response. And that was exciting. They wrote a couple books, or maybe just one book. I think it was called Your and My Love Poems. And
so it sounds like the relationship that you had with everyone was very close. Richard, let me ask you about your tours. What is it about these certain sections of Los Angeles that you try to shine a light on?
The lost Los Angeles that's being eaten up by the corporate footprint, Skid Row, East 5th Street, where the event will take place. These were just really important neighborhoods. East 5th Street was where Raymond Chandler and James M. Cain figured out how to write the way they did. I mean, these are guys that made American letters. You know, these are really important places with really interesting environments, and they're disappearing. There's just one or two blocks left of anything that recalls those days.
When did you start the tours, Richard?
2007. You know, I wrote a bus tour. My wife started giving true crime tours very casually. I wanted to write a bus tour about John Fonte, Charles Bukowski's hero, and I did. And once I'd written a bus tour about John Fonte, I felt I had no choice but to write one about Charles Bukowski. So they kind of go hand in hand. Bukowski decided he was going to be a writer, I think, around the time he read John Fonte's Ask the Dusk in 1939 at the Central Library in Los Angeles. So a pretty seminal moment for him.
And how often do you do the tours, Richard? I know this is a special event on Sunday, but how often are your tours happening?
Oh, yeah, right. The event on Sunday is just this memorial honor of the 20th. You know, the Bukowski tour, I think we run three or four times a year. We We have a bunch of different tours. We cycle through them for crime, architecture, literature. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to come back to Charles Bukowski every 3-4 months and think about all the problems and all the challenges and all the ideas he puts out there.
Do you find that your tours consist a lot of tourists, or do a lot of native Los Angelinos take the tours as well?
Yeah, I don't think we have too many out of towners. I notice we all have name tags.
Right.
Where we're from. Yeah, it's mostly locals. Mostly locals that just want to figure out what it is they know is out there that they just can't figure out off the cuff on their own. Yeah, we get a lot of locals.
Yeah. Okay. All right, Richard, hang on. And Joan, also hold on. We're going to talk more about the event on Sunday and about Charles Bukowski and some other stories. And we'll talk about, if you're not familiar with Charles Bukowski's work, I'll get some suggestions from Richard and from Joan about the best things that you could start reading with Bukowski. Charles Bukowski, it's amazing that it's been 20 years. I can't believe it's been 20 years, but it's been 20 years since he passed away. And on Sunday, March 9th, there will be a gathering called 20 Years After Charles Bukowski Memorial Gathering in Los Angeles. It'll be at the King Eddie Saloon, which is on East 5th Street in Los Angeles. We'll talk more about Bukowski and other things right here on 720 WGN. Nick DeGilio here. We are live in the Allstate studios on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. Here till 5 o'clock. Steve Cochran rolls in at 5 o'clock, and we will hang out with him a little bit after 5 as well. Charles Bukowski, an incredibly gifted writer and poet, passed away 20 years ago this weekend, and which is just really mind-boggling that it's been 20 years. And there will be a celebration, the 20 years after Charles Bukowski Memorial Gathering, and part of the celebration will include my two guests, Richard Shave and Joan Jobe-Smith, and we welcome them back to the show. Welcome back, Richard and Joan.
Thank you for having us.
Yes.
Well, yes. Glad to be here.
Joan, as a poet yourself and as a writer, talk to me about the discipline of writing for you. You know, how it's changed over the years, and do you purposely sit down and say, I'm going to write this much today, or does the inspiration come and go? Tell me about that, how's it started, and how your writing process has changed over the years.
Oh, goodness. Well, I've always been a writer. I started out with a stick when I was like maybe 6 months old or something. I just have this need to bloviate, get it out of there.
Yeah.
No, I've never, this isn't braggadocio. I've never had a writer's block. If you ever sit down with me someday, you'll see how I can go on and on. And I've written tons of books. I've written a lot. I've had a lot published, and like I said, it's not braggadocio. I just write all the time.
Yeah, it's just second nature at this for you then, Joan.
Yeah. I'm a talking woman, and I put it and I've got it hooked my tongue hooked up to my fingers.
That's good.
It comes out the. It used to come out my pen. Now it comes onto the computer.
What was your favorite thing about Bukowski? Did you have a couple of favorite things about him?
Well, he was my mentor. He told me I could write what I wrote. You know, I was trying to write pretty stuff. I was trying to write like Sylvia Plath, and I was trying to write like. You know, people wrote in the 70s, even Rod McEwen. I was trying to do some, you know, Bob Dylan, you know, that I started as an adult. I started writing poetry seriously or couldn't stop writing it, let's say, in the 70s. And that's when I met Bukowski, and he kind of gave me a license to spiel and squeal and do it. And I did.
Yeah.
And he wrote about life, and he wrote. He said to me once, "You've lived more of a life than anybody I've ever known. Anyone who could write that is." And you know, I've just had a strange and hectic life, and Bukowski told me I could write about it.
Yeah.
I didn't have to write about Grecian urns and the stars that come out at night.
That's great. Joan, was it a requirement to be a big drinker if you hung out with Bukowski? Obviously, you know, he was a huge drinker, but in order to be with Bukowski, did you also have to drink?
Well, I did so voluntarily, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, those were the drinking days in the 70s, you know. No, we drank copious amounts together, you know, champagne. And when I visited him with friends of mine, we always took a 12-pack for him and whatever he was into at the time. And he drank everything. And usually when he had company, he would, like, be mild and just drink beer and wine and whatever, you know, to be sociable.
Right.
Luckily I never saw him in his bad drinking days, you know, times, you know, he was doing it pretty heavily then.
Yeah.
But it was so congenial to be with him. He was, you know, he was fun to be with. He was the most, truly the most fascinating man I've ever talked to. I mean, every word he uttered was a gem.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
Richard, tell me a little bit about, if you were to tell people to read anything by Bukowski, what do you think are his best works?
Oh, boy. Okay, Joan's going to get me on this. I'll take a leap here. Poetry, I would start with Drowning in Fire, Burning in Water.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a good collection. I haven't heard Joan throw anything yet, so I'm going to keep talking.
Women. Want me to interrupt you?
Women, the 1979 novel Women.
Yes.
Is it just to flip the coin? I think that's a great place to start.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do love that. Joan, what about you? What are some of your favorite works by him?
Well, see, what I love best about Bukowski was how he loved women. And I'm a little bit of a feminist. And I love Love is a Dog from Hell. That was, I first read The Days Run Away. And ever since then, I've read everything he's written, everything, and as many of his letters that I could read, and whatever's out there. And I did 4 issues of Bukowski Review, so I've read a lot of work by other writers, a PhD dissertation by Jewel Smith and University of Hull. Trying to think of everything, but I love his women. I love Women, the book, and Love is a Dog from Hell. Mm-hmm. That's my favorite.
Okay, and Richard, you have a website. We have it linked up on our Facebook page, facebook.com/NickDShow. Do you have a website that people can go to check out your tours and things like that? In case, you know, somebody from Chicago is planning to go out to LA.
Esoteric.com. It's a pun on esoteric. ESOTRUOIC.
Okay, esoteric. Okay,
yeah.
Oh, very good. I always ask anybody who is a fan of Bukowski, or, you know, obviously you guys are experts. I'll go to you first, Richard. How did you feel about the film Barfly?
Love it. Love Barfly.
Yeah.
The best thing about Barfly, I was told this by someone on the crew, the Wanda's apartment. The Royal Palms. Bukowski and Jane lived there for a while.
Oh, man, yeah.
He showed up on set with his wife, and he walked up to Barbe Schroeder, the director, and said, "You did it. How did you know?" And Schroeder said, "No, what?" And Bukowski said, "I lived here."
Oh, man.
The location manager picked it, but that's great.
That's awesome. That's a great story. Joan, what about you? Did you like Barfly?
Yes, I did. I heard that Bukowski liked it, too. So, yeah, I liked it.
Yeah.
I think, one last.
Yeah, go ahead, Richard.
Barfly. You know, it has not been proven, but we've spoken to John Fonte's children, and they haven't explicitly said this, but there is some agreement that Charles Bukowski, in his late friendship with John Fonte, went to him with questions about screenwriting for Barfly.
Mm.
We haven't found any letters on this, but Fonte gave up writing novels and wrote screenplays for 30 years.
Wow.
And so it's interesting to think that how that sort of that feedback loop worked.
Yeah. It's hard to believe it's been 20 years. Can you guys believe that 20 years has passed since he died?
Well, it's sure been lonesome without him because I think about him a lot.
Yeah.
And my husband, see, I'm married to Fred Voss, who's a poet, mm-hmm. and we both, it's one of the dabs of glue that held us together in the early part of our relationship. We were falling in love, and we both loved Bukowski. My husband even has the head, you know, bronze head of Bukowski that Linda King created in 72, and we've got a bronze duplicate of it. So, I mean, I live with Bukowski's head every day. It looks at me. It's a great big old smile.
Yeah. So. Well, I'm sure that Sunday, I wish I could be there. I'm sure that Sunday is going to be a really great night. 20 years after Charles Bukowski Memorial Gathering, it's a celebration of the Los Angeles writer on his 20th anniversary of his death. The King Eddie Saloon, which is in on East 5th Street in Los Angeles. And for more information, you can check our Facebook website, which is facebook.com/Nick D Show. Richard Joan, thank you so much for joining me. It's been a real pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you.
Great.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Bye.
It's amazing that it's been 20 years. Unbelievable. All right. We'll take a quick break. It's Nick DiGilio on 720 WGN.